Welcome to Chapter 5, Wax On, Wax Off, Time to Train the Nervous System, from How to Make Your Thoughts Disappear. In the previous chapter, I introduced to you some concepts about the nervous system and how it can't tell the difference between imagination and reality. So I'll be going into that subject more in depth in this chapter. Now keep in mind, the entire purpose of learning and understanding more about this subject is to dramatically increase your awareness. These are lessons of awareness that I'm consciously aware of throughout my entire day. You can become that aware yourself too. Here are a few more exercises I do. I'm very observant of any controllable stress in my life. All stress is not bad for us. In fact, the right stress enables us to grow and thrive. One study at a college placed amoebas in a non-stressful environment where they had everything they needed. Amoeba life was perfect. A short while later, they all died while the control group of amoebas were placed under some stress. They all survived. Now, I recall reading a story. A company caught and shipped live fish across the country, but by the time the fish arrived at the destination, all the fish had died. Someone decided to solve that problem by subjecting the fish to some stress. They added to the tank a species of fish that would continually chase the other fish around the tank. When they did that, all of the fish arrived alive due to the added stress of being chased. Now, I work hard to manage negative stress, and I thrive on the positive things in life. Now, here's an example of negative stress. As I mentioned to you previously, I've been traveling consistently every day, living in hotels for about 3 years, and I can assure you, you'd better learn to manage your stress if this lifestyle seems attractive to you, or you won't last long. I've developed a huge love-hate relationship with my GPS. I can't tell you how often it has taken me in the wrong direction. And if I have to give a presentation in a new city at a prescribed time and my GPS isn't working, and I can see it's going to cause me to run late, you can imagine the stress level that this will begin to cause. And keep in mind, I am by no means immune to the same stresses and the same emotions that other people experience. I still want to master the necessary steps to prevent excessive stress from overwhelming me. So I also want to learn to reverse the negative effects of stress. So in a situation like getting lost while driving my car, if the music is on, I instantly reach over and shut it off. Turning it off helps me control the stress of being lost, and even later than I already may be. I will often feel my body heat increase, so immediately after that, I shut off the radio and decrease the temperature of the air conditioner to make it cooler inside the vehicle. These are things that I do consistently throughout my day to maintain control instead of allowing situations to control me. I'm constantly in defense mode when it comes to situations like this, and I'd rather live this way than allow life to control me. Another thing that I do every time I have to drive as a means of being consciously aware of my surroundings, emotions, feelings, and the like is control my facial muscles, especially on a sunny day. On sunny days, we have a tendency to squint if we're not wearing sunglasses, and I'm often aware of that in myself, and I squint a lot more than I need to, so I'll instantly relax all my facial muscles. I think you might be surprised how often your stress shows up in the muscles of your face and the expressions you make along with it. Squinting continues to induce more stress in the body. Now, keep in mind, being conscious of this tendency to squint on a regular basis and doing something about it will keep you conditioned to be still of heart. This adds to your quality of life, gives you more control, and calms the spirit. Here's something else you might come across. It seems a bit odd, but I'm hoping by now my ideas, if you're looking at the big picture, will continue to make more sense as you keep reading. We've all been wired to be slaves to our feelings, and when we feel sad, we act sad. When we feel happy, we act happy. What I'm about to share with you is a lot easier said than done. When we feel sad, we should try to act what? Happy. Now, why is this necessary, and why is it so challenging? This is perhaps one of the most powerful clues I can give you to help you master your behavior. Anytime, and I repeat, anytime you try to do anything opposite of how you feel, you will feel as if you're lying to yourself. And as young children, most of us were trained and raised to believe lying is wrong. So when you get to a crossroad in your mind or with your emotions, whether it be a fear of failure, fear of success, anger, or jealousy, you will have a tendency to take the path of least resistance. What is the path of least resistance when we experience negative feelings or emotions? If you don't know this answer right off the tip of your tongue, I assure you, your emotions will control you instead of you controlling them. Unfortunately, that path of least resistance is a laundry list of negative emotions, and giving into any of them is the very worst thing any of us could do. So then why do we keep rewarding negative feelings and emotions? If we could just avoid giving into our negative emotions just once, it would break the habit we've established by becoming angry or sullen or caustic. Once that habit or pattern is broken, it is so much easier to change the negative behavior and learn new habits, set new patterns that are positive in nature and rewarding by those around us who no longer have to run for cover when the situation becomes intense. And when we were born, one of the first things that we started to do was to cry. So when we became hungry, we cried. When we had to use the bathroom, we cried. After we eliminated our waste in our diapers, we cried again. There was just no pleasing us at that age. And how often did we do this in our first year of life? Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, as we became total slaves to our feelings. But here's where it gets a little scary. We've been told that the most impressionable part of our lives is usually the first 5 years. Do you realize that if this is true, that we spend nearly half of the most impressionable part of our lives being total slaves to our feelings? So now, if you ever wonder why it's so hard to deal or lead your feelings as opposed to being a slave to them, now you have one of the answers. Are you a leader of your feelings or a slave to them? So much of what I'm sharing with you in this book or audio program enables you to be a leader of your feelings and not a slave to them. Your life will be much happier and you will enjoy more control when you lead your feelings rather than being a slave to them. I'm sure you've heard of people when they get into bad situations, they ask somebody what they should do. And often somebody will say, follow your heart. Now to me, it totally depends on the situation. Often people end up following their hearts without leading their hearts, which gets them into a lot of trouble and a lot of pain, physical or emotional. A typical example of this truth is in the area of relationships. I'll often see people who are recently, maybe they've, you know, recently started a relationship and truly do love each other, but they both already know the relationship is really not right for them. And in fact, it's very unhealthy. So because they love the other person, they follow their heart instead of ignoring the signs that it's really not going to work out or it end up in maybe an unhealthy relationship. In a case like this, the best thing might be that they lead their hearts and pull out of the relationship. Often, we feel because we love somebody, we must follow our hearts and try to solve the problem and fix the relationship, when in fact, it may be totally toxic. The example or solution I offer people in a situation like this is to put the puppy to sleep. You may have a puppy or a family animal that's dying of cancer or is experiencing a lot of pain. Though you love your pet dearly, unfortunately, you might have to put it to sleep. So in this particular case, you would be leading your feelings and not being a slave of them. The benefits of learning to lead your feelings are endless. Because we're so naturally wired to be a slave to our feelings from birth, we often look for ways not to lead them, such as medication, alcohol, and other things that might be unhealthy. Now remember, I told you earlier about the preschoolers who are getting mood-enhancing medication to help them deal with depression and hyperactivity and other psychiatric problems? This study came from the Journal of Psychiatric Services. This is crazy. Something is totally wrong here. I mention it again because I find it mind-numbing that so many people decide to medicate their children rather than looking for a more normal way of correcting problems. Statistics have shown that depression will be the second largest killer in our society behind heart disease in the coming years. That's because of suicide. This is a dangerous epidemic in the world today. And while I'm on the subject, I'll give you briefly my viewpoint on antidepressants and similar meds. I do believe from time to time it's necessary to have prescription medication, especially to stabilize someone. But I think you will agree that it often becomes a crutch, just like a bandage for that quick fix, that QFS. It doesn't solve the core issues. Medication typically doesn't get to the root of the problem. It often just becomes the easy course of least resistance for both the doctor and the patient. When life gets overwhelming, the ability to lead and master your emotions can make all the difference in the world. I got off my medication and muscle relaxers in my early 20s, and I haven't touched them since I've started treating the core issues. I decided to become my own doctor and patient, if you will, and through understanding a few simple principles of behavior and how we think, I've been able to take back the control of my life by developing programs that do just that and helping others do the same. So when life gets overwhelming, the ability to lead and master your emotions, again, can make all the difference in the world. It's because of this very reason that I'm always looking for ways in my day-to-day activities where I can find ways to condition myself to see and know that I am in control of my emotions. I had mentioned to you just a bit ago that we all have a tendency to be a slave to our feelings. And one of the reasons it's hard to do opposite of how we feel, such as feeling rejected and to move forward and not reward the rejection, is because we're wired to be slaves to our feelings. This, again, is also why it's so hard to feel sad and try to act happy, though we know this is something we should do, which would give us more control and fight to keep the negative from getting worse. Don't worry, be happy most of the time. So here is something that I do that I referred to just a bit earlier that's a little unusual, but once I share it with you, I think you'll understand the principle behind it. So if I'm in a situation where I get very excited and happy, I will instantly decrease or lower the excitement level both in my mind and throughout my body. For example, if my face is showing excitement and I'm happy about something, in an instant I will change my facial expression to where I no longer show that excitement. Now keep in mind, I do this in such an instant that you would never recognize it. If you had a video camera on me and replayed the video later, you might catch it very quickly. So I start off with the high level of excitement and the facial expression to show it, drop it back down, and then I take it back up quickly. Again, why am I doing this? One of the reasons we have such a hard time controlling our behavior is because we're slaves to our feelings. So when we feel sad, we act sad, even though we know we should try to act happy when we feel sad. When we try to act happy, we feel as if we're lying to ourselves, so we become slaves to that feeling and act sad without continuing forward to try to change that. So to counteract that being a slave to our feelings, on the negative side of things, when we do feel sad, we should try to be happy. This is how we try to rewire the way we think or feel. After I do this, on the other end of the spectrum, I'm consciously aware of being a leader of my feelings and not a slave of them. When I feel extremely happy or excited, I will do the opposite of how I feel. Lower the excitement, then bring it back up. Yes, this might for most people feel uncomfortable by feeling as if I'm lying to myself, because anytime you try to do anything opposite of the way you feel, whether it's positive or negative, we're going to feel as if we're lying to ourselves. Now, I hope you can see the big picture of how these techniques and strategies keep you consciously aware of not only leading your feelings instead of being a slave to them, but also how they can help you gain more control of your emotion. Since we're such creatures of habit, I believe it's important to look for ways to be creative in breaking our patterns that enable us to change our behaviors or habits if they don't serve us well. Being a slave to our feelings, in my mind, is something that does not serve us well, especially if the feelings are not in harmony with our happiness and our goals. There is still no way you can control your thoughts, much less make them disappear, without total awareness of your present state, thoughts, and emotions. This will give you the option of controlling them or not, depending upon the situation. This understanding of the nervous system mentally primes you to consistently be conscious of what is going on with your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. This way, you can be more still of heart throughout your entire day through starting the wax on, wax off process.
This concludes this chapter of How to Make Your Thoughts Disappear by Gary Cox.